I have something to give you, because I didn't give all of you something for Christmas. I wanted to make sure all of you got something. And so the usher teams, if you would come up, and I'm going to be passing something out as a gift, not only for Christmas, but also a gift for the new year coming. If you need more, I've got more. You know how when you go to stores these days, first thing they want to do when you check out is give you a rewards card. Have you noticed that? How many of you have at least 10 rewards or perks card in your purse or wallet? How many of you have so many that you have to drag your purse or wallet behind you? It's a very common thing these days, isn't it, to get a rewards or perks card? Let me know when you've all got one. You need some more, Nancy? No. Brian, you need some more? I don't care if you get two of them. I got plenty. And if you do get an extra one, you can hand one out to a friend. And there will be some extra afterwards we can get to you. Now that you've gotten those, I need the ushers to come forward and get one more thing. And here you may want to do just maybe four per aisle or something like that. And I'll take your extra cards so you don't have to lug those around. You're going to have to share these to some extent. You know how it is when you get these rewards cards, or sometimes when you buy a gift card, they write something on them. Especially after you spend down, they write what you spent on them. So you're going to be writing on the backside of the card. The backside of the card is the opposite of where it says Christmas perks card. Just so that you know, if you're thinking this is a pretty dumb idea, this wasn't somebody else's idea, it was mine. I wanted you to be able to take Christmas with you. We're still in the Christmas season, as you know. How many days are there in Christmas? On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12, right? There's 12 days in Christmas. Does anybody know what the 13th day is called? Epiphany. By the way, did you know that a lot of churches to the east of Constantinople, the Russian Orthodox Church and many others, celebrate Christmas on Epiphany, the 13th day. So they haven't even celebrated yet. So we're still in the season of Christmas for many. But I wanted to give you a Christmas message today that you could take with you. So we're going to keep these cards out for the time of the sermon. But after we're done, I want you to be able to put them into your purse or your wallet so that when you go digging through looking for other reward cards or credit cards, you pull this out. And it could be March 23rd or May 25th or July 38th, whatever the date. You're digging through, you'll pull this out, and you'll see the card, and you'll say, you know what? I still have Christmas in my heart and in my life. And then instead of being kind of a little bit upset that you got to spend more money or a little bit upset that you can't find the perks card or rewards card you're looking for, you'll feel really good because Christmas is still in your heart and you'll remember today's message. How does that sound? Good deal? All right, don't raise your hand if you like the sermon yet because we're not done, all right? The first thing I want you to write on the back side of that card, okay, and you'll, I don't know, did everybody get a, some of you are sharing that marker, that Sharpie. First word is love. Christmas is a time of the year, a celebration in the church, because this is the time we hear that God is love. Christmas is the time we find that Christmas, or that God is love. Good Friday is the time we hear, particularly, of our salvation. Not that either one is the other only, but that particularly we think of Christmas as the giving of God's love. So we've got this Bible verse in the book of John. Dear friends, love comes from God. Everyone who is really able to love has been born of God and has come to know Him. Christmas is that time when we hear that God has been made manifest in the flesh. He has come to us, not like us, but as us, fully human in all that He is. Flesh and blood, skin and bone, organs and brain, hair, all of it, fully human, with all of the emotions that are a part of being human. All of the supposed fears that come upon a human being would be also upon Him, although He gave in to no fear that would lead to sin. Isn't that something, that God, who is beyond time, who's present everywhere, who knows all things, who by a word can create all that you can see and touch, would confine Himself to the body of a human being? And even though He is still there, fully God, He is there as fully man for our benefit. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. Nobody would know that God is really, purely love unless the Christ child was born in that manger. In fact, we know that among men fear God without knowing about His love. They try to appease God, please Him, merit His goodness by doing all kinds of things in hopes that things would go well for them. Sacrifice to the gods in order that it might rain. Do some sort of good for God in order that they might have a healthy family and many children. Perhaps be kind to a neighbor so that in the end God would be kind to others, including themselves, so that heaven's doors might be open wide for them. That's how people look at God apart from Christ. Knowing Christ opens up our whole lives towards our sinful nature, and once we see our sinful nature, to cling to God in Christ for what He does for us. There's the difference, the Christmas difference. Now, experiencing that love and having that love a part of our lives is what I'm hoping that will come to you when you pull this card out and you look on the back and say, oh, my Christmas perks card. I wrote love on there. God is love. He loves me. And now we have a change of attitude, a change of mind and heart. We look at ourselves and we say, I'm not the person I should be, but God is always at work making me the person I can be. That's your Christmas perks card at work. Now, take out that marker again, and perhaps, you see the way that I did it, is you got that little manger on the back, that's such a nice red, warm color. I wrote love by the palm tree. Across from that, peace. You see, Christmas changes my world 24/7 because now in my heart and in my life, I have a peace that passes all understanding. Peace is something that I really can't have without Christmas. Because he is the Prince of what? The Prince of Peace. And when the Prince of Peace comes into this world and into my life personally, he instills in my heart a peace that no matter what happens in this world or in my life, I have the end in mind, that I am in my Savior's arms, and God will care for me no matter what the circumstances or what the issues may be. You know, I think looking around the world, I see a lot of people that are just kind of making every effort they can to experience some kind of peace in their life, but it's so momentary, isn't it? It's so short-lived. Have you ever watched the Packers play football? Bummer, yeah. Have you ever really felt peace while watching one of those games? The only time you really feel at peace is when they're ahead 45 to nothing. I noticed this about the Badger game last night. I wanted to feel very peaceful about the game. By the way, during the game, I put a puzzle together, take my mind off what was going on, see? But I never really felt at peace with that game because I felt the enemy could win at any time. Of course, the Miami Hurricanes aren't really enemies, but I felt the enemy could win at any time. Wouldn't it be nice if we could live our lives as if our team is ahead 45 to nothing and there's only 2 minutes left in the game? Wouldn't that be great? All God's people say, amen. Yeah. But you know, Christ coming into the world to defeat sin, the devil, and death itself can make our lives like those who feel they're ahead by so much they can never be defeated in the end. Oh, certainly things could happen that, oh, you wouldn't want to see. You know, like a wide receiver fumble with a minute left to go. But if you're ahead 45 to nothing, who cares? Wouldn't it be nice if you had that kind of peace? Well, that's the kind of peace that God gives, that we can live our lives knowing that the end is not only near, but the end is victory. And that's how we live our lives. Christ won the victory. His birth to this world helps us understand that God is defeating the forces of evil. And that in the end, and we learn this at Good Friday, with Christ's death, all sins are erased. All evil has been overcome, and we shall live forever. There's the Easter message with him who loved us so much that he gave his one and only son. So, the last word you're going to write on that card is purpose. Purpose. See, when these things take hold in our heart, and in our lives, and in our minds, faith is created. Whenever faith is created that God does love us, that God will save us, that God is going to take care of us, we have a renewed sense of purpose. Not just to live for ourselves, to try to earn God's favor, not just to learn or live for ourselves because, hey, I got to grab all the gusto in this world because there is nothing more. When we learn that God does love us, that our sins are forgiven, and that he has this great eternal plan for us in heaven, it changes our purpose now. We've been doing the Max Lucado book on Bethlehem during our small group. Max Lucado said, Christ has been born into this world so that we would know We have purpose. We were created on purpose for a purpose. That's what he writes. And he says that while we're in this world, we are constantly being groomed as we fulfill that purpose for him. Constantly being groomed means that we might be pruned. Things that in our lives that are unneeded and unnecessary and even harmful will be cut back. And by his power and his purpose, he'll bring forth new branches and new areas in which we will experience Christianity and fulfill his purposes. And he talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, compassion, the fruits of the Spirit. But he also talks about the part that we play in God's kingdom as somebody who might be an encourager, as somebody who might be a service person, by somebody who might be a teacher of the gospel for others. And the list goes on and on. But you need to know that this card, when you pull it out, means more than just a piece of plastic with words on it. It is to remind you that no matter what's going on at the time or where you are, God is fulfilling a plan and purpose for his kingdom and using you. For in and through you, you have a part to play. God has made you on purpose for a purpose. And I think one of those very first things to do is when you look at that and you start to realize God does care, you respond by thanking him. Oh, that's great. That's worship. That's an act of worship. Anytime you respond to God as a good and loving and caring Father, as it said in our epistle for today, Abba, Father, you are worshiping and fulfilling his purposes. And of course, anytime we do that, it's going to change the way we appear to others and the way that we respond to others. It might be with a smile, a kind word, a handshake, a gift, our presence in their life, whatever that might be. And in doing that, God is fulfilling his purpose in and through you. The other part of that, of course, is not just worship, but a ministry. And all of you have that. And I don't know where you're at in your lives right now. I'm an empty nester with kids in their 20s. That's a unique ministry. Some of you have that. You're learning what that is, how to adjust to your children at this stage in their lives and your family at this stage in your family. For me, Christmas is all different than it used to be. It's the same with Thanksgiving. It's the same in the discussions I have with my kids. Do you know that when my kids were younger and Christmas came along, we talked about Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. We talked about elves. We talked about Christmas trees and why we put them up in the house and how to decorate them. When my kids were home this last time, we had a two-hour discussion about marrying the perfect person. That's a little bit different than Christmas discussions. Do you people think that there's a perfect person out there to be married to? Nobody's perfect. But they were in this mindset that there's the perfect person for them. So we had this discussion about marriage is not finding the perfect person. It's about being the perfect person for the person you marry. Christmas anew. You all have a ministry no matter who you are at the time you're living and the place that you are at. And so all of you have that challenge to work God and Christ into that mix. So, you got three things, right? Love, peace, and purpose. and Christmas 24/7. And if you want an extra one and you remember the sermon, you can give it to somebody and preach the whole thing to them. How's that sound? If you can remember it. I do have extras, and maybe you do want to give them out. I don't know, that reading on the backside is kind of tiny. Can you read that? I want it a little bit bigger. You almost need a magnifying glass. But perhaps that will incite somebody you give this to say, I wonder what that says. Maybe they'll try to read it then. The other thing I was going to do is I was going to put a little fake chip in here to see, and then I was going to tell you all, you know, it's worth $100, go and try it at the ATM. Just to have fun with you, but I decided that would be kind of unkind, so decided not to do that. God's blessings with you and the year ahead of you and all the things that are going to take place, and the Christ child may live in your heart. Amen.